You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live Portraits, featuring intimate, in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live Portraits,
Hey, what's up, everybody? You're watching Black Hollywood Live Portraits. I'm your host, Dariel Kristen. Here joining me in the studio today is the lovely Courtney Stewart.
What's up, everybody?
DJ Jesse J.
What up?
And our special guest today, you know him from some of our favorite classics, such as Friday, Next Friday, Martin, you name it. He's been in so many different things. We got Mr. Tiny Lister in the house with us today.
What's up, man?
Welcome.
What's up?
Thank you for joining us.
And well, brought the
Monster
bike.
Energy drink yet. That's the problem.
You represent. You got the Monster t-shirt on. You got the Monster necklace.
Shoot, man, for life.
And even got my Monster, the Monster bike.
You got the Monster bike.
Yeah. Hey, man, shoot the Monster bicycle, fool. I'll choke you out.
Now, Tiny, you have worked in the industry for 29 years or
yep.
so. And you've done around 171 films, correct? Now, we want to learn, you know, the beginning of your story. I mean, a lot of people don't know your story. I know that you were born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Right?
Somebody got on the internet and put some crazy stuff on
that's
there.
The
but you, grew up, you really grew up in Compton, though, right?
Yeah, I've always grown up in Compton. I was, my mother, she had me at Memorial Hospital, and we lived in Watts. When Watts got real crazy, everybody moved to Compton back then because Walter Hill, that started my movie career, directed a Trespass with me and Ice Cube and Ice-T, 48 Hours, 1 and 2 Warriors. Mm-hmm. Compton used to be all white. So what happened, the blacks just wanted to get a better life. They moved from Watts when the riot broke out. And we moved just before the riot broke out to Compton. And so I don't know. People can get on the internet and say anything.
Where the hell they get
from? I'm not from
Yeah, I'm like, Pine Bluff is such an opposite.
But social media's not, and that's what people need to know. Everything on the internet's not real. People can get on your internet and just say whatever they want. And so I just go with it, man. I ain't got time to worry about it.
That's why we want to talk to you.
That's right.
Thank you. To straighten it out.
Thank you so much, Lester. I like you because you got white teeth, y'all. And women got some beautiful teeth.
Now, we see you the 6'5", you know, muscle-bound guy. Were you always like that younger? I mean, did you grow? Some people are skinny, and then they grow into being
That's me.
Big.
That's me. Well, when I was growing up, I was bullied. So I go around to all the high schools and junior high schools because so many kids are committing suicide for obesity, being gay, and stuff like that. And I go around and I challenge the kids. I've adopted San Pedro High School, Barack Obama Middle School, and I go give them money to let me know who's bullying because I was bullied in elementary school. And then growing up in Compton, you know, a big gang-infested city.
Yeah,
I was around when Big Tookie was around. So Big Tookie's come up to Compton High School. Everybody be running like the world's coming to an end. Don't be nobody but Big Took. And everybody gave me a pass afterwards because I was great in throwing a shot put.
Yeah.
And I became a national shot put champion at Cal State LA. And that's my first fame to success, I guess. But my vision was always to maybe be the bodyguard one day for the President of the United States.
Wow.
I never knew God. Jesus Christ was going to make me the president in a $100 million film.
That's right.
You know, your mind is different than how God thinks.
That's true.
And I was very satisfied with the president of the United States. That would have been the most tremendous thing for me to do from Compton. They say you can never be nothing but a gangbanger or a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And I just want to prove everybody wrong. I don't smoke or drink. I like milk and cookies, but I love drinking Monster Energy drinks and it's been a great relationship with me with them. But, you know, just Compton was where I was born from. I'm not from Pine Bluff, y'all. Never. No. I ain't got nothing against y'all people in Pine Bluff. I know y'all love me, too. We love you. But
It must have probably somebody, it probably was somebody from Pine Bluff who put you from Pine Bluff. They loved you so much.
It's only people saying they Tiny Lister and selling my merchandising. You know, it's really a compliment to let you know how big this character actor have become. And you know, I've learned from the Hulk Hogan's, I've learned from the Mr. T's, I've learned from the George Foreman's, and they have taught me how to always to reinvent who I am. And my little brother Sam, man, doing this film with him. No Weapon Formed Against You, and got to meet him, and now we're talking about doing a reality show together. It's just how God works, you know. Like you said, we were supposed to do this interview before, but God brought us here today for
That's
a reason,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And some things have happened since I talked to you on the phone since last week, and it's all through Sam. So Sam is like a river, and I've learned through the kingdom of Jesus Christ, you know, you're looking to hang out with rivers, not reservoirs. People want to transfer that love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm sure, so your spirituality was something that helped you with even just growing up, and you were talking about there was a lot of gang banging going on, and you were able to surpass that and change, you know, have a different life.
Yeah.
Is that something that also helped you? And you also played sports as well. Were those two things?
Well, see, the two things that keep you safe in Compton, when I was growing up, when they found out I was really good at throwing a shot put, I was the second best in conference. The Long Beach probably had the Miller twins, and I took them on at the Moore League finals, and one of them beat me at the end. But later on, I got them all back in junior college and college because I became the best in the United States. I was a national shot put champion in 1982 at Cal State LA. I broke the school record 7 times in 1 year, and I dedicated my career to a white man that had enough vision to come to where, from Long Beach City College, I had to go back and stay at my mother's house. And I didn't really want to be in Compton because back then Compton was, it was just death to me.
Yeah.
I wanted to see something else besides helicopters at night.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear birds. My favorite TV show is Bonanza. And you don't supposed to be Debo liking that kind of stuff, but I've always dreamed about living on the water. Me and my wife and my daughter, we live on the water and in a marina. So that's always, I've always just wanted to live like that. So I thank God for His grace and mercy.
Yeah. And then now with that, I know that Jimmy Bridges, who's Todd Bridges' brother, mm-hmm. was instrumental in starting your...
Todd Bridges' father.
Her father.
It was his father.
His father instrumental in...
Well,
in,
that was the first... I didn't know... You know, like when you ignorant in the business, you know, when you black, you want to... The first person you run to is the first black actor that we all can identify with. Back then, Todd Bridges, I think, was making about $35,000 an episode on that show.
Strokes,
His father was the only one that we can even hear about. So I started there, but I've been in business January be 30 years and I am I'm at Abrams. I'm over at Abrams agency on in Sunset, and Cindy Cowan, I got the coolest manager in the world. Cindy, she's a movie producer, and she's a godmother to my daughter, and she only manages me because we became more like a brother and sister kind of relationship. And she's a sister I never had. She's my little Jewish sister. Shalom. And I run with Bishop Blake at West Angeles God in Christ. Been with him for over 25 years. So, but I lend myself out to everybody because kids are committing suicide.
Yeah.
While we hanging out at happy hours, kids are committing suicide in America. Yeah. And they suppress that because they don't want you to know how bad it is. So I'm out there in the streets everywhere from Detroit to Chicago. I've been in Cabrillo Greens with ex-drug dealers named that became pastors. I go with places other people don't go.
Yeah,
this ain't Shamar Moore.
When did you
the fool here?
When did you realize?
Raise your hand, man.
When did you realize to be able that you had the power and ability to actually change kids' lives like that? You wanted to that this was on the path.
Let me tell you, movies is really a setup. I'm not here to do movies. I thought I was. I've done a lot of movies. Me and Sam just did a movie together, a spiritual movie. I play a pastor. He's my son. He's a police officer. But it's Bishop T.D. Jakes taught me. He said, Tony, you have a mantle to talk to the youth. Debo can go places. It's like, how would I put it? Wow. I don't know if y'all can handle me on this show.
I feel like you're about to get deep on us right now.
We like to go deep.
But
see, he said something, and you're right, it triggered that spirit, right? Yeah. There's a scripture in the Bible, Psalms 42:7, the deep calls into the deep. Everybody black, let me just, I try to do it politically correct. and y'all would grasp what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Every black actor couldn't do Training Day in Watts because they are not accepted amongst the black community. Mm-hmm. Now you think about it, what I just said for a while. They love a Denzel, but they will shut down another black guy
right. That
makes that kind of money, has that kind of star power, but he's not accepted in the community. And that's how Debo is. This Debo belongs to the community. He don't belong to Hollywood. He just works in Hollywood. And you got to understand why I got the movie Fifth Element. Luc Besson is not a part of the clique in Hollywood. He's a rebel. So that's why I can do the movie Fifth Element and play the president, because he don't shoot movies even in America. He shoots outside of America. Mm-hmm. And he does what he wants to do, like a Quentin Tarantino. You notice all the directors I work with, they kind of bucked the system. The Walter Hills did Warriors,
right.
48 Hours 1 and 2. But you got to know the difference when you're talking about shooting in Kimberly Green in Chirac. Chicago's, that's called Chirac. They're the number one place in America for murder.
Yeah.
So police don't even go there. Debo can go there, but other people can't. And they're the same color as me because they don't belong to the community. And it's a disconnect. And so Bishop Jakes told me, he said, Tony, you have a mantle to go places where there's no praise and worship teams. So the only person can come and help you at that point in time is Jesus Christ. Because the guys I'm talking to, they have their guns on them.
Right.
I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, year before last with Pastor Calvin Adams. That met through Bishop Noel Jones. And in Chattanooga, 10 kids got shot on Christmas Day. Mm. And the kid I spoke into his life, he was a trigger man. It messed him up because I'm talking to all these kids in the street. And they all scrapped. But they love Debo. And God told me to talk to this man. And it messed him up because I found out later he was the leader. And it messed him up because I can point him out. God allowed me to point him out. And that's my gift. My gift, movies just, and TV, is just a setup for me to go tell the youth about Jesus Christ, how gangster he is. And, you know, I have one scripture tattooed on my arm. If I'm going to put something on my arm, some tats, it's going to be the word of Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
And I kind of want to go off of that really quick. A lot of kids are dealing with depression. They don't really understand.
Exactly.
People don't understand how serious depression is.
Yeah.
So was there ever a time where, you know, you had a lot of success and you kind of not lost faith in God or Jesus, or just kind of...
I have lost faith in him a lot.
So could you kind of just talk about...
I want kids to know that. I have questioned God, too. You know, and if I sit here and BS you, just like everybody else. Yeah, I'm going through some legal stuff right now, but God is bringing me through it. You know what I'm saying? And it's really a setup for him to show how powerful he is. But yeah, man, it's been some times I've dated some girls, some opportunistic girls before I got married, what we call gold diggers. But I was, like my grandmother said before she passed away, I've been taught right and wrong. I know who I'm supposed to be talking to and who don't. So you can't make somebody be good. So I've been wanting to hurt myself over a girl.
Yeah.
Mm. And so when I share that with kids, when I tell kids Debo was bullied in elementary school, I only see out of one eye. I have a detached deformed retina. This is a cover to make me look cool because this eye turned white over years. Mm. I had a specialist talk to me and say it's going to turn white. So now with the technology, you know, in Hollywood, you can make a cover so make it look just like the other eye. Mm. And people would... A dude named Lawrence Adams from Adams Funeral Home in Compton used to chase me home. He was in the sixth grade. I was in the fourth grade. And one day, y'all, my mother closed the door when I was trying to run in the house. And I've been fighting ever since. That was the day I had to stand. And when I stood with, and when I challenged him that I'm not going to take no butt whooping no more, I took on life, too,
yeah.
The same way. And then I found out this gangster named Jesus. Man, you can do all things through him, man. And it's just incredible who he is.
Yeah.
Because he saves us from myself.
Yeah.
So, Woody, in terms of the bullying, and you get to meet these kids all across the country all the time, what do you feel or what do you think at this point is different about this generation that is causing so much with the suicides?
Well, I think this is the generation of the future. They just don't know their purpose and destiny. Mm-hmm. See, if you don't know, like you, you somebody cultivated you. Mm-hmm. Who cultivated you? Your mother, father?
My mama, my daddy.
Okay, but look, so you stepping into your purpose and destiny. Mm-hmm. They call it Generation X.
Yeah.
Man calls them that. Jesus don't call them that. So if they're the ones is going through so much destruction, why is the devil attacking them so much? If they knew who they were, could they change the world? Hmm. So if you never knew who you were, somebody mentored you.
Yeah.
What about the kids that are not being mentored now?
Yeah, that's true.
See, our society now, they're not being mentored, but somebody mentored all of us here. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are here, stepping our purpose and destiny. But if you're like Esther in the Bible, if you don't know who you are, you will never save your people. You know, and so it's a lot of you out there and a lot of me out there, a lot of you that just don't know. They don't have the support system, and it's rough, man. So a lot of them take themselves out to ease the pain. But you see it in Hollywood, though. You see when you see kids, when guys committing suicide in Hollywood, or guys are speedballing, they're taking three drugs, cocaine, meth, and pills at the same time. We're very blessed to have God as a foundation at a young age in our families.
Yeah.
Because you can see what happens when you don't have God. You go left. And that's what God gives us, because you still get depressed when you know God. But it's better when you know the word. Mm-hmm. And you know you've studied to be approved. And so you start thinking about that scripture, Isaiah 54:17. You start thinking about Psalms 138. You start thinking about Luke 10:19. You start thinking about Psalms 139. If you lay your bed in hell, Jesus Christ will be there too. So all the kids that are living in hell, like in where you from, where we from, but God said he's there too. You know, he's on the second day, he went to the hell and got the keys back. You know, that's a straight up gangster move, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we got to let them know how they told me one time in Chicago, they was paying me $5,000 every year to come speak. And they had 8,500 kids there. They bust them in with the school buses. They said, if I don't talk about Jesus, they'll let me come back every year and they turn the money to $10,000. They gave me that mic, and I talked about Jesus the whole damn time. The hell, you going to buy me?
Right.
How I made up out of Compton is Jesus. I'm not a blood or a crip. I'm playing the president. I'm the first black man to play the president in a $100 million film. Morgan Freeman. I'm ahead of Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman was the second guy. God moved me to the front.
And you don't want me to talk about that.
Man. I mean, I'm in One Night with the King. I mean, I'm in Dark Knight. And I say Gotham City? I'm the ratchet of the man? I didn't do nothing good my whole life. But I stopped that riot. And we're going to make a sacrifice. We're going to die on that boat.
Yeah.
And let them kill. So God is actually using biblical things. In a movie I talked to Chris Nolan that makes about 17 and a half million direct films. I said, Mr. Nolan, nicest guy on the set. You wouldn't even know he's the director. You think he's a grip. And I said, man, can we pray in the scene? Yeah, Tyler, you can pray. Because I was looking for a platform to talk about him.
Right.
Yeah, when I talk about him, I weep. And that's why I can go to Chicago. That's why I can go to Watts. That's why, because they know I'm from same. Mm-hmm. And they said, when have Debo weeped? But I talk about Jesus. When I talk about what he done in my life. Man, so that's how I do it. I went to a school in Baton Rouge where 26 kids committed suicide in 1 year. But they have so much money in the community, they kept it out the press. It was an all-white school. Those are still my little brothers and sisters. And they know Debo. So God said, I'm going to use that to get in there and tell them about me. Tell them what I did for you. So,
well, you're clearly a vessel. You know, you're clearly here to promote those messages and to help kids out. And if a young kid is listening and wants to maybe have someone like you, and they're like, is there a program that you're currently working with that they
can? I'm the easiest person to find. I'm at Bishop Blake's church. I run with everybody from Paula White to Bishop Jakes, Pastor Washington, Jacksonville. I run with everybody, man, that is talking about changing the system in the hood. I'm always, you know, in Detroit, I run with everybody in Detroit. I run with every pastor out there. But I will come to wherever I got to go to talk about this cat. Because it's like Bishop Jakes was at West Angeles one time, and he was talking about how cold this cat is named Jesus. He said, at the beginning it was light. And he started developing the world. But on the fourth day, at the beginning he said it was going to be light, but he started building the world one day, second day, third day. On the fourth day he said, well, let me make the sun. I mean, that just messes me up. At the beginning he made light on earth, but he didn't make the sun to the fourth day. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just in awe of that. That. He don't even need to use the sun to have light. I mean, so, you know, when people talk about claiming a set that they don't own, God would make you bigger than Compton. God would make you bigger than Chicago. God would make you, he'll give you a platform to talk about him. Like your girl that won the Oscar when they fired off American Idol.
Jennifer Hudson, yeah.
Man said that was the biggest platform. So they said, we fired you. You too dark, girl. You too fat, girl. You can sing your butt off, but we can't be in front of us 71 million people. But Jesus said, man said that. I didn't say that. So God gave her a bigger platform to do a praise party.
Yep. So this has been something that's helped you throughout your career. I mean,
man, I don't run without this cat.
And clearly, you know, with the, we said, 29, 30 years in this industry, you've had more longevity than most people.
And I don't kiss nobody's ass.
And you work with the best. You mentioned Quentin Tarantino. And
man, you know, John Singleton, we was at the Michael Jackson funeral. John was sitting right behind me, and John put me in Remember a Time video with Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, I remember
right?
you. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I was on hold. We was doing Trespass, me and Ice Cube and Ice-T. We were shooting in Atlanta, so Universal was financing both projects. They said, you want to come up here and work with Michael? And, they said, you want to go do this video? And they would say, I'm only going to make $333 a day. Sure, I make $10,000. I work on video $20,000. What the hell are you talking about? But they said, it'd be a month. I said, but $333 a day? I can't work for that. Damn, I'm making $10,000 a day over here on Trespass. And a week back then. And they said, Tiny, it's Michael Jackson. Okay, cool. I suck it up for you. the first day I got there, I was in my motorhome watching my Westerns. And somebody put a stink bomb in my trailer and locked the door. It was Michael. Oh. And that's all it needed for me to become D-Boy Zeus. So the whole time I chased him. They caught a cut. I'm still chasing him, man. And we had so much fun on that video shoot. And him and John put a prank on me. I'm acting crazy like I'm, you know, did before we start filming. And they put some real snakes in this one thing, and I put my voice, and I started talking like Michael and Prince, man. My voice changed all the way up.
Can you give us a sample? please give us a sample. You're talking like Michael and Prince.
I didn't know I had that in me, man. But when you put your hands in them snakes, boy, them snakes jump at you. You punk out, boy. And we had a good time when we shot that video. I work with Marlon Brando, man. They say he's considered the greatest actor to ever live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You talk to a black dude from Compton that worked with Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Peter O'Toole in One Night with the King. Omar Sharif. These are icons. And so they're not even movie stars. They're icons. And
who's been your favorite person to work with? I know you have
nobody can touch
a variety.
Right, he's just talking about Marlon Brando, Michael Jackson. Like,
yeah, Marlon Brando. It's like, I had a lot of fun with them cats, cause they like to play.
Yeah.
And Marlon Brando, he walked on the set the first day, and Johnny Depp's in the movies, so they said, I'm dancing with Johnny Depp. So I do dance with a dude in my career, but it's Johnny. They said, Danny, go be Johnny Depp. Okay, I'll dance with him. So go back and watch Don Juan DeMarco and see Faye Dunaway. Marlon Brando and Michael Jackson and Tupac was amazing. The directors I worked with are amazing. But I have a special place in my heart for the late John Candy.
Mm-hmm. Why John? What was it?
I watched about working the paint. I heard all the goodwill he did off the screen.
Yeah.
If he heard you had a situation with maybe you losing your house, I heard he would go give you a hug and slide $20,000 in your pocket. You know, you don't get mad. I've heard so many unbelievable stories where this. I know this one guy. He always doubles me in my movie, named Manny Perry. He's the one that did the Lou Ferrigno Incredible Hulk. He'll paint himself green.
Okay.
But when they did that show, and it was a black guy that doubled Lou Ferrigno in the TV show Incredible Hulk. He's my double. I don't work without Manny Perry. And he said his father died. And John Candy sent him home and kept paying him like he was there at the work and put him in the best hotel in, where his father was being buried. Paid for the, had a limo. Said not that 24/7, pay for the hotel, and I forget if he buried, he paid for the funeral too, but that's I heard this stuff all the time. I heard Michael Landon was like that. I heard Will Smith is like that. I just love people that do, that use their power for good, and that's what the Bible, you know, we're supposed to be rivers, transfer the love instead of being reservoir and try to hold it for ourselves, and that's why I like, you know, Jamie Foxx, good people, man. They do a lot of things. A lot of people don't know what Will Smith and Denzel and them doing. And they don't let them know. Even if they get attacked in the press, they still doing biblical things. Like, Will's always changing somebody's life. And just out of love. Giving them money. And nobody know he done it, but God knows he done it. So I want people to do that. And that's what Michael Jackson was. Michael Jackson was the biggest giver in the history of Earth.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, he outgave everybody financially. And the Bible tells us they will kill your name in Revelation. The way they killed Jesus on the cross, they would crucify your name. So when you see what happened to Mike, the attack on Mike, that was what they was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mike left his family rich.
Yeah, yes, he did.
You okay?
So outside of the family as well.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I mean, super rich, you know, and. And God loved me so much to allow me to work with him. And Pac was amazing. He was a classical trained actor. Just a student of the game. You know, the way you watch Mike Tyson talk about the boxers. Mike knows everything about every boxer that ever lived, black and white. And he knows about the history of his game.
Yeah.
Pac did too. Pac knew everything, man. And God allowed, that's why I look back and reflect and say, you love me so much, you let me work with the cats. And John Singleton was the first cat that told me, F. Gary Gray told me, the only time he ever cheated as a director is to make sure I got Friday. He said, because you was already Zeus from the WWF.
Right.
You already had a platform that shook up the world. And we needed that to jump over here. And so F. Gary Gray would tell y'all, the only time he's ever cheated as a director to give me notes to make sure I get the role is because people back then that ran with Ice Cube, they didn't know how big I was. Back then it was Pat Sherman running with Ice Cube. The Cube knew how big I was, but they didn't know.
And you worked with Ice Cube several times. What's your favorite part about working with him?
Just to learn from him, how down to earth he is, and how focused he is as a businessman. Him and Ice-T, to me, is two of the best people I can ever know. Because you can learn so much from Ice Cube.
A lot of people say that. Like, what is some of the stuff that you've learned from him?
Well, you know, Cube says it a long time ago in his early music, keep your focus on your cheddar. And I give y'all a good example. Everybody know I love Jesus Christ, so I'm at a Jewish agency. But Resurrection Day was coming up. And James Franco was doing a project on Resurrection Day. So Abram said, well, Tony's not going to work on Jesus on the day Jesus Christ rose. And I said, why Jesus don't want me to work? So I went to church at 8 o'clock in the morning and went and saw James Franco, and we did something. And plus, it was James Franco, man. Sure. Mm-hmm. It's like Ice-T taught me something. We can take a vacation when we did. Till then, let's keep on grinding. Okay, and look at the work I'm doing. This is work? Come on, man.
Right.
I'm not unloading a truck and making $400 a week and have to go work another job. I'm blessed to be doing what I'm doing. They paid me thousands of dollars, man, to show up in videos and be on the movie screen. Ice Cube, and Ice Cube paid good. So I'm gonna say, let me say this on TV. Ice Cube paid you good. Ice Cube and Adam Sandler play real good.
They pay good.
And I'm gonna tell you who pays the big money. And
you worked Adam on Little Nicky, right?
Yeah, he said, I want you to play my brother. But damn, Adam, I'm black. He said, damn, it's Hollywood. I ain't shooting. You my brother. And he paid me good and gave me a big back end. And Cube gave me a big back end deal. Yeah, they're the smartest guys in the business and the nicest guys to work with. And you can learn so much from being around Cube.
And Ice Cube, I hear, is in the process of writing The Last Friday. And,
oh, he already wrote it.
And now will have your presence in that movie?
Oh, yeah, he wrote it. He told me he wrote it already when he did the Coors Light commercial. He had it in his head, then he put it on the paper. He told me the story in line. Yeah, I should say this. Me and Terry Crews going to join forces.
Uh-oh.
And that's why it's called Last Friday, because we killing that little light-skinned person named Michael Evans. I'm a Suge Knight his ass, boy. He's too light-skinned in anyway. And Q, we're going to melt his butt, make his butt melt.
What's your favorite part about playing Debo?
The audience we have when we're shooting the film.
Mm-hmm.
Be like 600 people around the set. When we shot in South Central, we had about 600 people around the set watching it. And the energy we can bring, even when we filming it, you got the great F. Gary Gray.
Yeah.
Man, so I'm praying that that's who Cube used in straight out of Compton. So I'm hoping he brings that back. Because Cube is a busy man. Cube makes a lot of money, man.
Y'all, Cube, that he does.
He's on a different level, boy. And so I just like to be around him because it can rub off on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being around Ice-T and Ice Cube and Jamie Foxx and all, and Will Smith, you can learn so much from them on how to become great business people. And you can even teach your agents how to help them negotiate for you. Because the more you know, the more you can't be deceived. I'm a big fan of Mayweather, not because he's undefeated and he's black. And he's telling everybody, y'all forget I'm American, that he produces his own projects. He cut the middleman person out. There's no more slave master with him. When everybody else worked it, they was being prostituted.
Yeah.
They was taking 33% of their money. But he gets that 33% too.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him the most intriguing sports athlete in the world, because he controls his own destiny.
Yeah.
I mean, totally behind the scenes.
Yeah, a lot of people see the fame.
Yeah, and they get upset because he's arrogant. And the Bible says, be bold. Shoot, the Bible says, be bold. Don't be no chump. Jesus wasn't no chump, y'all. Jesus was a bad dude, boy. And so when you see a person take control of his what he does, it's I sit back and I just marvel in how he controls his whole situation, his own empire. Nobody is pimping him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to say it, but all the boxers was getting pimped before he came along. Mm-hmm. Everybody was getting pimped out. But this guy came and changed the game. Let's say like Deion. Deion Sanders changed the game in football. A lot of people didn't know if you want a quarterback, you didn't get paid quarterback money.
Right.
Deion, you only got paid X amount of money when you play a certain position. Deion changed that. And that's what Mayweather did. That's why you hear wide receivers and cornerbacks getting paid $15 million, $17 million now. Because Deion made them change the temperature. He said, I want to get paid the same the quarterbacks get paid. And he went to 49ers and they won the Super Bowl. And then the Cowboys wrote him a blank check. What the heck you want? They come and play for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. They're changing the game. Well, we're not being prostituted. They running things like Will Smith. Man, Will Smith is that's Big Willie, boy. I'm gonna say this is one, they asked me this at all the Rockabilly tour when they're doing these rap concerts, and I'm showing up as Debo. A lot of people in Hollywood look down on rappers acting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I got for them. First, L.O. Cool J and Pac was classical trained. I'm not classical trained. Okay. And so Mad got mad. They started being mad. They said, well, they shouldn't be doing movies with us. They don't know the craft. Well, God said, the most powerful man in Hollywood is a rapper named Will Smith. You know, and so Jesus said, I will have the last say on everything.
Yeah.
You know, and so the biggest guy in Hollywood is a rapper.
Mm. And has changed the game.
And changed the game.
I mean, we were just talking about Common, rapper.
Common's another awesome kid.
You know, he now is.
I was just on stage with him in San Francisco. And we was up there a couple weeks ago at the Rockefeller tour, and Common's.
He's about to have a huge action role. He's going to be a action star.
He's a beautiful soul.
He's going
to
be dope.
Hey, Common. I need to be playing opposite you.
That's right. We need to get you.
Yeah, you need a bad guy that everybody going to be scared of.
But now you, I mean, you wrestling was key in starting the name Zeus and who you were. And I know that you work with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Would you ever return back to the ring, you know, and
money? You got $1 million? You know, money, you know, like I have a beautiful little daughter named Faith. And she'll be 5 this October 3rd. My name is Faith Grace. I asked God for a double portion. I've been married almost 11 years. Man, I work for my daughter, make my daughter happy. Yeah. I would love to go against. I would only go come back if it made sense. Like, I would love to get back in the ring either with The Rock or The Hulk. It's only a couple of people that interest me. Because I left at the top. Wrestling the greatest wrestler ever in the history of wrestling. You know, Hulk is the greatest wrestler ever lived. I don't care what nobody say.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of The Rock. Rock have took it to a new level. But, cause he's very iconic. He's very charismatic. But, I would love to get back him one more time and show, Hulk, what a ghetto massage is.
A ghetto massage. I think we need to make that happen.
Hey, you put the call out.
I
want
to see it.
Yeah, because I want to bring the hood with me. I want to bring all my rappers and them and lowriders come in there. He bring his boys in with them, with the Hell's Angels and all them cats coming with their Harleys. Hey, let's do it giant, right? Let's do it big.
I like
doing things larger than life.
Yeah.
And that's why I like being with Monster, because Monster don't do nothing unless it's larger than life. And I've been very blessed to work with a company like the WWE, and now to be a spokesperson for Monster Energy Drink, and Mark Hall and Sam and Jeff them over there, and Rodney, the CEO of the company. They treat me really good. They let me be me.
How did the relationship start with you and Monster?
Well, a company that was trying to punk me took me over there and was trying to pimp me out. And he was going to Monster to try to get some more money. And he said, when, and Mark Hall, the president of Monster said, man, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to probably eat your company. But we didn't want him to leave here without signing him to a contract. And that day I signed a contract with Mark Hall. And I thank the world for Mark Hall, because he's a cool dude, man, cool white cat that loves his tractors, man. And I just want to go kick it right on his tractors. I just like people that's different outside the box. And that's what I like about Monster. They like people outside the box. They love Snoop Dogg. They love Kyle Busch. You know, they like rebels.
Yeah.
And they don't conform to the clique. That's what I like about Bishop Blake. Bishop Blake let me dress like this at West Angeles. And I dress like this everywhere I go. I don't wear no $2,000 suits. My ministry is being ready to go in with the kids in the sewer. It's kids in the sewer, man. Kids got, I want to use a strong word, they got SHIT on them. Mm. And we got to be willing to get off the sidewalk and get in the sewer with them and tell them that how much the Lord love them, because they're greater than we are. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to do, because they didn't. There's so many of them leaving this earth, and it's a lot of sisters would love to be around you, but they'll suck you dry, because they are hurting out there.
And you had mentioned a little bit a few minutes ago that you would possibly get back in the ring for the right situation.
Yeah,
what do you think about some of the new stars out right now, who I feel like people like yourself have paved the way for, like Darren Young,
who's Darren Young?
He's the new...
he just came out as the first outed gay wrestler.
African-American gay wrestler, yeah.
I don't even know who he is.
He's like, he's the big star out right now, but you've paved
the
way.
I don't know.
He just came out, like, what,
let me ask you a question. Did he wrestle Cena, or have he wrestled The Rock?
No.
See, definitely not The Rock.
He's newer than
that. He's younger than that.
Okay, see, when I wrestled, that's why, I'm very naive, too, because, like, Monster had to let me know. I just did a video with French Montana, right? I didn't know who French Montana was, y'all. And I'd be like, God, I got to start watching BET and VH1 and watching your show, right? Because I'm always watching the Western channels. And then they said, well, you know, he said he working with Rick Ross. I wanted to work with Rick Ross, too. So we did a video together, and it's doing really good. So I was in South Beach for Monster at the Dub Show. The next day we shot in South Beach this video. And French Montana, he's been an awesome delight. But I didn't even know who the guy was. If you're not the top, I don't know you.
Okay.
Let's put it like that.
Got some work to do.
He's still building. He's trying to get the Zeus status.
I wrestled Hulk Hogan.
Right.
My tag team partner was Macho Man.
Right.
I only wrestled Hulk Hogan. Yeah. I don't know nothing else. That's why I told you, if I come back, I would go back to the top.
Yeah.
And wrestle either The Rock or Cena or Hulk again. It wouldn't make sense for me to wrestle nobody else, because that's why I was in the penthouse, and I'm not going to the basement.
What's one thing you missed?
I got to buy more bicycles.
Right.
I have a bike collection, y'all.
What's one
thing? Thank y'all in America for giving me your bikes against your wheel. I got a bike collection.
What's one thing you miss about wrestling?
I miss it because I'm a big kid.
Yeah.
Like Ice Cube, when we're doing Friday, Ice Cube pulled me in this motorhome and said, hey, dog, man, you got to cut when we say cut, man. I love being the character because it makes people happy.
Right.
I like acting crazy. And I tell the kids, I get paid to act a fool. Don't you work for free.
Mm, right.
Amen.
You know, so all the kids in America, I get paid to be this character. It's Debo like milk and cookies. You know, if I'm going to work out, drink my Monster Energy drink. And I'm at Gold's Gym, only gym I've ever belonged to. It's Gold's Gym in Venice, the Mecca. I give out shots because I'm very loyal to the people I'm at. I've been with Gold's Gym since I wrestled Hulk Hogan in 89. So I'm never going to go to no other gym. Why? That's the Mecca. it's like we've been blessed to have Kobe in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You got to understand who Kobe Bryant is. You know, got to understand who Shaquille O'Neal is. The rest of them cats, I don't care about them because they don't strive to be the best. Mm. You know, I met Dwight Howard one time. Wow. You see, it ain't the deep calling to the deep. Because the deep handles the pressure.
Yeah.
You can't go talk to the kids and throw wars if you can't handle the pressure in Houston, Texas. So that's what my grandmother, one of my grandmother lived in Third Wars. It was rough there near Texas Southern. And back then it was prostitute town and drug city. They cleaned it up now, but you can't go talk to the deep places if you can't handle the pressure. And L.A. is a place where it's pressure. New York is a place where it's pressure.
Yeah.
Miami's a place where it's pressure. Shoot, ain't no pressure in Houston. Shoot, what you talking about? Shoot. It's like going to Disneyland.
Well, your faith has obviously helped you, work with those pressures. And then,
Compton, God put me in Compton to get me ready to go talk to the youth in any place where other people don't go. And so Compton was a setup for I could go and be comfortable and press. I was with Pastor Marvin Miles in E-Course Detroit, y'all. We went and rode the bicycles out there, and we started talking to some drug dealers and some girls was prostituting their body. And they threw the dope away. 88 people followed us into the church and walked them out and gave the life of Christ. I'm in New Orleans, the toughest school. In New Orleans, where they're shooting and they're stabbing and they raping the girls and they selling drugs. And they let me go talking at lunchtime. And the local hip-hop radio station was broadcasting live. And 271 kids gave life to Christ. See, that's I'm not in the churches. You got to pray. Like Bishop Jake said, we got a praise and worship team in there. I'm out there where only God can help me. And you saw me break down and start weeping.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I talk. I don't ever see Debo cry, because I make people cry. But when I talk about Jesus, I weep. The Bible says he wept. And then the Spirit takes over the place. And it's the most powerful thing in the world when you see kids make that walk.
And to be able to bring it to them, because all they need is that one touch in order for them to actually feel comfortable enough to actually go into the doors. Because sometimes it's scary to have to, you know, the thought of just walking into a church if you know nothing about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because a lot of churches got so much structure. Mm-hmm. Remember I said that? And our kids live outside the box. And so we got to meet them where they're at. So I need magic, because magic helps me get ready. I need all them cats around me at West Angeles, because they pray for me. Cookie, Magic White, they always praying for me, especially Magic White. Cookie wife is always praying. Cookie, Magic White, always praying for me. She's a serious prayer woman. My wife is always praying for me. Serious woman out of South Africa. Because when I go out there, the guys want to pull the guns on me. They want to. But then the Spirit of God takes over the room. I take over the air out there. And an OG might call him and say, yeah, you pull that gun on Debo, you're going to have problems. And that's just so beautiful, because the kids, the guys out in the streets, they love me, because they hear about me passing out money, talking about this cat for real. And I need that money, because I'm not rich. I'm doing all right, y'all. This ain't Ice Cube.
Well, you mentioned Ice Cube and other rappers today, like Will Smith, and we've talked about Common. What is your state on the world of hip-hop today? What do you think about the music today? We have a lot of discussions here in the studio about the usage of the N-word in music and rap.
Well, I don't think it should be used unless it's necessary. And, like, when you're doing period pieces, you know, I just did a movie called One Tough Dude, One Bad Dude. And it starred me and James Russo. And what's the guy from Dukes that has his name, with the blonde hair? John Slider. Us three, right? And so Slider is a racist cop with a racist town. You remember how Rambo had to go through that town, and that guy thought he was God in that town. He messed with the wrong person. It's similar to that. I'm an ex police officer. Just driving through that town to go see my father. He's fishing. We're going. Hopefully, they get this shot in. The guy plays my father is the father from Good Times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. And they mess around with the wrong cat. Yeah. They think they got Flipper, and they find out it's Jaws.
You said Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, man? Jaws is don't. My father, my biological father, not my spiritual father, Jesus, he's always wanted me to watch Flipper. I couldn't stand that damn And when I saw that movie, Jaws, I said, that's the kind of fish I need to be wrong. He got his own theme music, too. See, well, Jaws had his own theme music, like Devo, right?
Music, yeah.
So, and I tell people, all superheroes got their own theme music.
Yes.
So when you hear my music with that bicycle, hey, he's a ghetto superhero. Devo's a ghetto superhero. Yeah. So, Common, don't be working without me. Common, this is your big brother talking to you. I always go, every time I hear Common is somewhere performing, I can be going home. And I said, let me go on stage. He gives me a mass shout out. He's a very unbelievable individual that I can't wait to get to know better.
Yeah.
Because we only seen each other at concerts, mm-hmm. you know, when he's performing, and I'm making an appearance as a character. Just, he's a good dude. And we definitely need him to be a superhero.
Yeah.
You guys can be in a movie together.
Yeah. Common?
How do you go about picking your roles? I mean, we've seen you in an assortment.
They call me at my agency, Abrams. Justin Baxter's my agent. Cindy Cowan, my manager. She's a bad Jewish chick, boy. That's my girl, boy. She's my heart. It's just, you know, I used to stay away from certain movies. But I'm open to doing different things now, because I got to reach a bigger audience. You talked about the dude coming out being gay. I would never do roles like that before, but now I'm more open to it, because if it means something.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do nothing to have a hidden agenda. You know what I'm saying? Sam Jackson taught me one thing. He said, Ty, I don't need a bald head statue to validate who he is. He already has 16 and a half bathrooms in his office. So you understand what I just said?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And Sam is an unbelievable actor. And like, I'm a big Sam Jackson fan. He came to my wedding in South Africa. I love, we go to Bishop Blake Church, and I'm a big Gary Oldman fan. There's a lot of guys.
What's it about Gary Oldman that you love so much?
He's outside the box. He doesn't look for his name to be heard, but his work is undeniable, the best in the world. Like the girl said from Black Swan last year at the Oscars, she said at the end when she was announcing Best Actors, how can this be the first time you've been nominated?
Yeah.
Okay, remember that.
Yeah.
That's all. That, the Oscars, it was all about what she said.
Yeah.
How the hell can you have a war show and this is the first time Gary Oldman's been nominated? There's a lot of injustice in the war shows, and I just think he's one of the best actors there is, and you know, so it's certain people that we overlook and we can't overlook, like the great Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson's a beast, man.
Yeah.
So I'm in awe of him. He's like the preacher on the set. Sam got to work with Ice-T. So when Ice-T talks, we all just sit back and listen. Dustin Hoffman, I did a movie with Rachel Weisz, Dustin Hoffman, Ed Burns, Luis Guzman. But when Dustin Hoffman speaks, we just sit back and listen.
It's just the presence.
Yeah, it's just because you know he's telling you something that is
you need to be listening to.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you, some people got it, and some people just like to talk about themselves. And I stay away from kind of cats like O.J. Simpson. See, I'm not shy, man. Ain't nobody can beat me up anyway. Shoot.
Yeah, that's true. Shoot.
Suge Knight's my buddy, y'all. That's my tag team partner, y'all.
So why don't you tell us about this new movie, No Weapons Formed Against Us, that releases in January.
Well, I want to show people that this is more like who I really am. I'm either ex-drug dealer, ex-gangbanger. Grew up in the hood, became a man of God, and I have a son that's played by Sam that did an unbelievable job. He really had the performance of the film. And
we have Sam Sarpong, who's also in the studio with us right now.
We're going to bring him over.
Yeah. Sit on the couch. You guys can tell us a little bit more about the film for all the fans.
But basically...
Keep talking. Devo, tell us more about the movie.
Hey, you gonna sit? Where you gonna sit at?
Okay. Y'all just gotta sit a little tight.
Yeah, I like to sit near my bicycle.
That way we got the monster on the monster. Hello. It's right there.
But Sam is, like we were talking about, you know, what's my Greek brother name?
Jesse.
Like, Jesse brought up a very powerful question. How do I deal with depression sometime, too? My wife prays for me. Sam loses his wife in the movie. And he said, well, why? God wasn't there for him. And so he gets really angry with God. And so we deal with the real issues. And we got to talk about the young kid named Howard. Howard, when I was having my only child, I was at Long Beach Memorial Hospital. He was a security guard. He said, man, I want to write a script. And I said, will you be in it? I said, yeah, I'll do it, man. They got to talk to my agent. Just call me. And I take care of you, you know. And then we find out he directed the movie too. But I give the kid a chance. He said, we can't pay you what you normally were. I said, man, ain't gonna be about that. You gonna do something different? I'll do it. And I want to play a preacher. And he said, well, you got me playing a preacher. My son is the good son. Another son's a drug dealer. So it's like Cain and Abel in my family. And so I got that in the movie. We had this in the movie. And Sam's the good son. But he never gave up on his brother doing wrong. But it's why he loses his wife to drugs. And he said, how the hell wasn't Jesus there? And I said, just like that, they call you Jesus. How the heck you didn't show up and save me from his greatest gift? And now he got to raise this beautiful daughter by himself. So we challenge what you said is going through, Jesse. I mean, but tragedy is going to come, man, in all of our lives. And but you still got to stand, man. Because ain't nobody from Compton coming. Ain't nobody going to be to come and fix you. But Jesus, like, you know, Jennifer Hudson went through all that tragedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Come on, man. And she's standing on Jesus, man. So we've seen it, even in Hollywood. It affects everybody. Mm-hmm. And you can't go back and say, hey, homeboys and company, y'all going to help me? I can't help you. The only person to help you is Jesus. So we showed this movie where Sam is going through all the different feelings about how he thought God left him. And God, he was right there all the time. And let Sam take over.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've known Tiny for a while through the business. I'd see him at different events and things like that. But when I found out I was going to work with him, I think, as Tiny says, people have a certain perception of him. Then we actually started filming and doing these deep scenes, and I was talking to him more on set. I saw how he interacted with his real daughter. I saw how he treated his wife. And I was like, dang, he's so different than Debo. It's like he's so different than that. And I think in life, we either by perception or we're so good at playing certain things, people believe that that's you. They walk around and they think you're Debo 24/7. So for me, just having that father and son relationship, but still having the struggles, having the good times. One thing that attracted me to the script is in my career, you know, I ain't done 107. I've done about 60 movies in my career, but most of my films, I've always played the boyfriend or the thug. And this was a chance to show my vulnerability, a beautiful relationship with my daughter, and just an incredible father and daughter relationship. And I don't have a kid in real life, but I love all my nieces and nephews. I'm real big with the youth. You know, the last 10 years, I've been one of the celebrity spokesperson for the Boys and Girls Club where I talk to kids. So I'm very, very passionate about that. So that's, to me, that's what drew me to the script, was that relationship, my relationship with him, and also it not being a perfect ideal relationship. That's real life. You know what I mean? So it's a really good movie, man. And yeah, my hat goes off to Araya because, you know, it took a long time to shoot. We had to go. I mean, it was a lot of stuff.
How long was the shoot?
Oh, man.
Couple years, right?
Well, I have a joke about it. I call it the Black Avatar.
Yeah.
Why the Black Avatar?
Because Avatar took, my boy Laz Alonso was an Avatar. And he told me it took like a year and a half to 2 years on a green screen to film Avatar.
Yeah.
So me and Tiny shot that movie. It was done. Then we had some interest from people or whatever, got even more money. So then we shot it again at another level. So between the two different films, this has been like a 4-year project. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at the first movie, Mahari Blanks, who's Billy Blanks' niece, mm-hmm. she's like 3 or 4 when we first shoot the film. Now she's like 10 in real life.
Wow.
So even in the movie that's coming out, she's so little. And then now we're about to do the music video for it with Christina DeBarge, and she's like almost my height. So the clips from the movie, she's so little. But, you know, one thing that it shows, even for me as an actor and for anybody in life, it just shows that persistence.
Yeah.
Because now it's true. Where we want it to be.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because this young kid didn't know how to direct.
Yeah.
So we had to deal with his growing pains. You know, the subject matter was so cool. So as long as he kept his principles, and me and Sam there, he knew he can pull it off. And, you know, he learned how to write as he grew, and he learned how to direct. And he's still learning. But we didn't bail on him. But we still made him understand what the level we needed this project to be at, because we in the film. And it's a good subject matter because you see us in a different, me and him in a total different light.
Yeah, and then to touch on what he was saying, you know, one thing I noticed about Hollywood, it's like when you come off some good work, there's different pressure. So I'll give you an example. So like Tiny's done a million films. He's done studio films. Me, I've only done a few studio films, but I've been blessed enough to do a lot of independent, critically acclaimed films. I've been to Cannes twice. I've been to Toronto Film Festival twice. And when I did this movie, I was coming off a very highly critical, acclaimed film called Anchor Baby. Mm-hmm. Anchor Baby is a movie where I play an African who, basically an African couple comes to the United States, and I want my kid to be born out here. So basically, my wife has the baby out here, and then we're supposed to leave. So immigration and everybody is coming after us. I had to gain 20 pounds, speak with a Nigerian accent. This was like a deep movie for me. So coming off Anchor Baby, this was my next film. So when I would look at the quality of Anchor Baby and I would look at the first movie that we did, I would get on Araya because I'd be like, Araya, me and Tiny are the leads. Like, if I'm coming off a movie that's just screened at Cannes and has all this buzz and Tiny's who he is, we can't put, like, a $30 movie out because at the end of the day, it's going to hurt me or Tiny more than it's going to hurt Araya.
Right.
He's a first-time director. So if I have a little buzz or heat now with casting directors and producers and then I go do this movie, you're done. That's how Hollywood is. You're done. That little buzz that you built is over like that. So me and Tiny had to sit down with him and just make sure, And we've been very, very hands-on with this.
Yeah, film. and every day, you got to keep our foot on his throat, too, you know, because he's learning.
Right.
We there.
Yeah.
And like we've been in the loop sessions, we want to make sure this guy that he got loops right, because I'm relentless on people because, like you said, the projects I've been in, you know, like Dark Knight, dang, that's $180 million film, man.
Can't get any bigger than that.
Yeah, man, so you can't just come and chop us off. And so we got to raise his life. And he, now this, y'all got to understand something. This is someone you're going to make in Hollywood. You know, a lot of people, when you come up here, the girls are trying to look all cute, don't wear no panties and stuff, sis. And you understand what I'm talking about. And guys up here putting makeup on, trying to be metrosexuals and stuff. You got to be like Robert Towns. You got to do the work. If you got to live in your car, you got to live in your car. So Howard, a lot of times, is riding the bus. I think he just got a car.
Yeah, yep.
But if you want to be in this business nowadays, you're gonna have to make the sacrifice. And one thing about God, everybody need to know about Jesus Christ. God will show up when you make the sacrifice. But if you don't make no damn sacrifice,
that's so true.
Thank you.
That is so true. I've noticed that, like, when you put in the work and God puts you through adversity and you still say, I'm going to go through it, your blessing is just like, you know, because it's just, you can't even imagine. And touching back on Araya, I will say this. He's one of the most passionate people I've ever met in my life. This project is his baby. He eats, sleeps, drinks.
It's his girlfriend. It's everything.
It's everything.
And I love that you guys stood by him. I love
in that process.
We kept chatting. I'm hard to when you. I'm like Sam Jackson. I'll be on your throat. But what he's saying though about this young kid though, he's finding his way in life. It's been an experience to teach him how to be a man. Teaching him about don't sell out. Have integrity. So as we shoot this project, all the layers we're going through in this project, he's learning on how to come in this business, because you can get caught up, y'all, at casting sessions and stuff, because you see all the pretty girls coming in out there. You understand what I'm saying? You have this artificial power.
Yeah.
It's called artificial power. Just like pastors. Some pastors want to become a pastor because they want the money and they want to sleep with the women.
Yeah.
It's a lot of small churches like that. I've seen it.
That's why they call them pastors, because it's like, I passed her. Y'all didn't get that. It took y'all.
I got it. It took him a minute.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so a lot of people, like, when you see a casting session, and they lose, and the director and the producers are losing their mind, because they see all of the pretty women.
Yeah.
They want to be in the movie so bad, they'll do anything to get be in the movie. So I don't even show up at casting sessions, you know, because I don't want to deal with that whole adversity. You know what I'm saying? You just got to know you. You know, if lust is your biggest sin,
you can't put yourself around it.
That's me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So you got to know you, and so he's learning.
It's funny that he says that. I mean, this is totally off topic, but I was talking to somebody that's pretty high profile. And we were talking about guys cheating on girls. And we're all in the locker room of a basketball game. And he told me, he's a very big actor. And he said, Sam, he goes, because I was saying, once I get married, I'll never cheat on my wife. Like, once I'm married, that's it. And he said, Sam, okay. But he said, let me tell you something. You don't know what it's like to be me. He said, listen to what he said. Listen to what he told me. He said, you don't go to Ralph's at 1 a.m. looking busted. and girls are trying to holler at you. You don't show up at your hotel, and the minute that you show up, somebody jumps out the closet and trying to holler at you. He said, everywhere that I go,
temptation.
There's that temptation. True, yeah. And he said, the only way that I'm able to not do it, he said, right when I'm done filming, if the fellas are going out to the after party, I can't go.
Yeah.
I got to go to the hotel.
You gotta make
and I thought about that. And I was like, you know what? He is so right because he deals with that 24/7.
For the rest of his life.
Whereas one of us, you know, we may go to a club and a girl may give you an eye or whatever, but it's different.
Right.
That's 24/7.
Yeah.
So it made me not judge him when he told me about certain things he had done in the past and how he was trying to work on himself. You know, I was quick to judge, being like, yo, she's been there since high school. How could you cheat on her? He's like, bro, before you say all that, you don't know my shoes.
Right.
And it was so real. It was like, it hit me like, wow, you know what? You are absolutely right.
Well, just, can I just circle back real quick to the new director that you guys are working with on your film? You, obviously, he's new and he's, I'm sure, learned amazing things from working with you guys who've been on sets for years and doing lots of things. What did you guys learn or take from working with him that
patience.
Will influence?
Patience. Because I kept telling him, I think we shot this film for maybe, what, $150,000?
Yeah, something like that. It was low budget, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so check this out. So a lot of time you try to get, sometimes you get some people off the Craigslist, and you try to save money, you end up costing yourself more money.
Yeah.
I've learned that rule about life. If you, my uncle told me, like, a lot of times when we growing up, we can't really afford the furniture we want to put in our house.
Right.
So you buy it, but then he said, a year or 2 years later, you're buying it again, so you really spend more money.
Right.
So my uncle taught me that. Uncle Yandler taught me that. He said, man, buy what you want. And if it costs me $8,000, like I bought this bedroom set in South Beach, cost $8,000, but I still have that same bedroom set.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because I never had to buy it again.
Right.
But if I bought it for $2,000, it would have fell apart because I'm a big man. I'm 285 to 95 pounds. And I would tear that bed up, you know what I'm saying?
And to reiterate on that, it's so true, because I was talking to Tiny last week, and I'm about to buy a new car. And I have a nice car now, it's a Mercedes-Benz.
And I told him.
Yeah, it's a Mercedes-Benz. It's been great to me, limited edition, Brabus, all that stuff. But it's time for a new car.
Right.
So I was like, Tiny, yo, man, I love your car, man. You got a Range Rover. Is my car at the time when I got it was more than a Range Rover because it's a super limited edition. But I got it because Benz had always been my dream. You had the same one.
You had
a silver one just like
that. I
had
one with three.
I saw you at Roscoe.
But what I was trying to tell my young brother, and I let him make the final decision, I told him, when Sam talked to me like his little, my little brother, I said, I'm your big brother. I know what you need. The short picture premieres. You need to pull up in a Range Rover. Okay. Range Rover is the only truck. My manager, Shalom, she got a Range. I say it, y'all, Shalom.
Shalom,
y'all, because I know Rabbi Pinto. Y'all been leaving me alone out of Israel. And so they run this business. So I'm running with the Jewish people. Y'all, I don't care what the hell y'all talking about.
But to reiterate on his story, I was like, a Range Rover.
He's worried about gas.
Because the way that I drive. Mm-hmm. And I'm sponsored by Thousand Oaks Range Rover, who's actually giving me a great deal. But being sponsored by them, I have ranges all the time. So literally every 2 days, I'm spending like $60-$70, and I'm like, Tiny,
hook me up.
I don't have that kind of money right now, man. To be spending, I'm spending it on my clothing line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
How's he thinking though?
And he said, you know what, Sam? He goes, you're thinking you don't have that money.
Mm.
He said, you deserve that range. Go pick up that range, and the money will come.
Mm. And train yourself
because you're thinking, I have what I want, I deserve what I want, and I'm going to manifest that to the universe.
Science of mind?
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to hang out with people like Ice Cube and Ice-T. And he worked with Ice-T also in the film.
All summer.
Because what I learned one time, I was they have unemployment for actors. And I was in between films, y'all. And I was excited about getting this $1,500 a month. And then it hit me. God said, don't you ever worry about being unemployed. Don't you ever get happy with making $1,500 you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He said, God was telling me, don't never be in this situation. And by being around Ice-T and Ice Cube, it trains you So this happened about 20 years ago, y'all. And I don't think about gas money.
Right.
Because I'm after something bigger.
Yeah.
And if you worry about gas, you're not going where you're supposed to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he got it now. He told me today when we walked in here, Tiny, I'm not getting that new Mercedes. I'm gonna get that Range Rover.
Thousand Oaks Range Rover. Shout out. We about to pick it up.
I like to get one too, y'all. Now, y'all, so I can be human sometimes. I can be human.
Get that range. Now the movie No Weapons Formed Against Us comes out in January.
Yeah, and we start hitting the festival.
Where can fans see it when it wants?
Well, actually, our premiere is November 9th.
What he said.
Yeah, we have a big premiere. It's going to be in Pasadena. So you guys, check out the No Weapons Facebook page, and all the information is there. And it's actually open to the public. We got a big 500-seat theater, so it's open to the public, so anybody can
go. So everybody can go.
Yeah, and then we hit the festival circuit in January. And then me and Tiny...
Go hit them churches.
Yeah, we're about to do a huge church tour where we go, we screen the movies, do Q&A. So we're pushing it, man.
That's awesome.
We out here working it.
Now, Tiny, we're about to wrap up here, but I have a question for you. What word would you say defines you? You've had a long career, but what single word would you use to define you?
Relentless.
Mm. That's a good
one. Great. Like and what? Why that word? Why do you? What?
Man, I'm a heavy. So Woody Strode was the first black heavy in Hollywood that played Spartacus and all them great movies. They give you a time where you're supposed to be on top. Maybe you're supposed to work maybe 4 to 6 years. But I stop when I say I stop.
I hear that.
You know what I'm saying? And when they think they figured me out, I'm going to hit them again with a different kind of way. And that's why
I
said...
that monster.
Hey, monster. Common... I want to be your sidekick. Because you're right. The spirit that comes out of his body is so unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
You know, if you've been around him, y'all been around him?
No, unfortunately.
I met him once.
He's different, ain't he?
Yeah.
He's a different kind of... He's just...
He's got cool energy.
He's ready for anything.
Yeah.
And this is what this guy is going... Because he don't have... What makes Sam incredible is, y'all, the first thing... In Hollywood, he don't have a hidden agenda.
Yeah,
that's what it's refreshing to see somebody without a hidden agenda.
Yeah,
and male or female, you know.
Now, where can your fans find you?
At the Monster House.
Yeah.
Besides the Monster House,
hey.
Sharing a monster
hey,
drink with you.
Hey, y'all, this is what I drink when I'm doing the new Friday. With Ice Cube, I'm drinking these. I'm going to try to get my man Sam in that film, too.
Yeah, he got me drinking Monsters.
Yeah.
It's funny because I quit drinking soda a few months ago. A few years ago, actually, and I have them once every blue moon. But now, hanging around with Tiny, I'm all Monster.
It's all
Monster. Well, you know, it's like, you know, I was at the Pentagon for Monster one time, and I was there with the guy that ran CIA, you know, what's his name, Manella, something like that. And so they let me ride the bicycle in the Pentagon. And then the white guy that runs the Pentagon rode my bicycle, and it was just good people. But I found out they had Red Bull up in there too.
So you had to take.
And I had to flip on them, and you know, because I flipped on them because but what I did was politically correct. How the hell you gonna Red Bull is not even American.
No, okay? But what's funny is
let me finish this.
He's serious.
Hey, Red Bull company is not in America. It's in Australia somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So how the hell can our military be drinking anything but Monster?
That's
a good point.
So, hey, they start throwing the Red Bulls out, throwing them in the trash. The cooks came out. And I said, man, so I broke down and started crying. I said, how the hell can my military brothers and sisters be drinking nothing but Monster? Because Red Bull is a punk-ass company from another country. You defend America. And that's what I love about Meriwether. He said, man, how the heck is everybody going to pull against me? Because we thought because the other guy was soft-spoken, Pacquiao, some people was pulling for him. He said, don't look at me because I'm black and I'm talking boastful. I'm American. America's supposed to pull for America.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And he said, Dan, check my record. I'm undefeated.
Okay, now where are you on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram?
Real Tiny Lister. I guess because I don't follow that stuff, man. But I got Real Time listed. Third Day Production Third Day Production address is 8306 Worcester Boulevard, number sign 1111 Beverly Hills, California 90211. Y'all,
I love it.
All right, Sam.
You can follow me on InstaSam at Mr. Mr. Sam Sarpong, and that's my
Insta Sam.
And that's the same thing for Twitter at Mr. Sam Sarpong, and the same thing for Facebook, just Facebook.com/Sam Sarpong. At us, man, at us.
Courtney.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
Yes. At Jesse. DJ Jesse J.
And at Dario Crystal on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you guys for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live
Peace.
Portraits Woo! With our man, Mr. Tiny Lister.
Big Tiny.
House.
He's a monster. He's a monster.
Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Dario Kristen, and the entire BHL staff. We would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.